Hello, City Church. This is City Church Together for Friday, April 22nd. Glad to be back with you. This is Trevor. Took a little break for Easter, which we had a beautiful Easter and really, really thankful. God did some wonderful things in people's lives, and it is the first time that we've ever had someone die and resurrect in our worship gathering. I mean that literally. We had a man whose heart stopped for about 90 seconds and then was thankful for the many nurses, medical professionals that we have who rushed to the scene, and the many of the people around him who helped get him into the lobby. And then ER responsive nurse was able to rapid response nurse was able to resuscitate him, and he is thankfully doing well. He's back home and doing well. So, man, an eventful Sunday. Just the many people that did make decisions, next steps in following Jesus. We're really, really thankful for that. So glad to be back with you here today, and we are doing what we do. Every day is not Easter, but every day we do celebrate the resurrected Jesus, and we do that when we meet with him in the pages of Scripture. So today's reading is from Titus. I'm going to read, it's Titus chapter 1 today. I'm going to read a part of Titus chapter 1, starting in verse 5. Paul writes, "To Titus, the reason I left you in Crete was to set right what was left undone, and, as I directed you, to appoint elders in every town. An elder must be blameless, the husband of one wife, with faithful children who are not accused of wildness or rebellion. As an overseer of God's household, he must be blameless, not arrogant, not hot-tempered, not an excessive drinker, not a bully, not greedy for money, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, righteous, holy, self-controlled, holding to the faithful message as taught, so that he will be able both to encourage with sound teaching and to refute those who contradict it." And that is the word of the Lord from Titus chapter 1. Now, I am, have been appointed as an elder at City Church, along with five other men here. And reading this list about what an elder is, honestly, it can be pretty humbling and intimidating, because obviously if I am an elder, then I must be in some agreement that this list of character traits describes me accurately, or else it would not be consistent with my integrity to remain in the position I am. On one hand, that's true. On the other hand, I read this list and think, man, okay, could you classify me as greedy for money on occasion? Yes. Could you classify me as not hospitable? You know, are there times where I wish people, you know, hey, it's time to get out of my house, or I really don't feel like having people over and talking tonight? Yes. Do I always love what is good? No. Am I always sensible? Definitely not. You know, do I ever lose my temper or am not self-controlled? Yes. And so this list for elders is not a, an elder is like this at every moment. It is a list. Excuse me, allergies. It's a list of character traits that is describing to Titus what an elder should be and exactly who should be appointed in the church to lead in the office of elder. What I want to point out today is not necessarily go through all of the character traits. What I want to point out to you and what I want to highlight today is in verse 9, holding to the faithful message as taught so that he will be able to both encourage with sound teaching and refute those who contradict it. So I think I downplay sometimes the role of teaching in the church, even as I, you know, as I preach every week and am a teaching elder. Sometimes it feels like, you know, the statistics, you only get keep 7% of what you hear. And, you know, what I preach week after week, I sometimes think, oh, I could spend my time, you know, doing some different things, not teaching, not necessarily getting up here to teach sound doctrine, but to you know, but to be across the table from someone or in someone's life, which I do those things too, but sometimes I want to do more of that. And this passage in verse 9 is reminding me today of how important it is to continue to teach sound doctrine. That is for the purpose of encouraging the church. So both to, it says, encourage with sound teaching, and that I will be able to refute those who contradict it. So just giving twin jobs of an elder. So for you at City Church, like, this is something that you should know and understand about your elders and hold us to. We are both to encourage with sound teaching. Let's start with that. Encouraging with sound teaching. Well, the word encourage, think about it, it means to put courage into someone, which means the aim of a doctrinally sound sermon is not so everybody can get the answers right on the theology test. The aim of it for an elder is to encourage you. It's to encourage a church. It is to put courage into you. It is to make you courageous in ways that you might be fearful, to help you to take a step forward, Jesus, to encourage you to repent, to encourage you to walk by faith, to encourage you to obey the teaching of Christ, all things to encourage you to bear a cross, all things that are very much needed, that we need a lot of courage to do. So sound teaching, the purpose of an elder teaching sound teaching is not to give you the right answers for a theology test. That is sort of knowledge that comes without action. That's the kind of thing that Paul speaks against. In fact, he talks about this later in verse 16 about the guys on the other side. He says they claim to know God, but they deny him by their works. In other words, they can, you know, fill in the bubbles with the right multiple choice questions on the theology exam, but their lives do not show, and their works do not show that they know God. So sound teaching, not for trivia, but for, and not even just to understand God more, but for the purpose of putting courage into you to follow him. Okay. The other side of that, the reason why you need to have elders like this list is, and they need to be stick to the teaching that they've, that have been passed down from the apostles, is to refute those who contradict it. So there is a group that needs encouragement, and there is a group that needs rebuke or refutation. What you are saying, the way you are leading, is not in accordance with what the scriptures say about who God is and how he acts or leads us to act. Now, often when we think about false teachers, you know, it's that also can seem like a theology battle. Like, is this the guys on Twitter, or is this supposed to be someone stands up in church and says, you're wrong, and this is why you should not follow Jesus. Rather, you should follow, you know, Muhammad. And then, you know, as an elder, I step in and say, no, I will refute that. Likely the applicate. Well, OK, so there is, you know, there's a reality that that could happen, I suppose. And in this current context, certainly people were teaching various and sundry things about God, and particularly about this new faith in Jesus. For us, likely the refutation of those who contradict sound teaching will likely occur in smaller, more intimate spaces rather than in a public worship gathering. This will be in community groups. This will be in conversations. This will be inside of families. And so a job of an elder, the reason why we need to be self-controlled and grounded and you know, a husband of one wife with faithful children and blameless, not arrogant, not hot-tempered, is because that we are going to have to step into situations where we do have to come in and refute people who contradict the teaching. Now, this does not necessarily mean that they're doing it by word. It could be by their action, which, you know, further we get down in 16 is, it's not that people don't sort of know the right answers. They claim to know God, or they're coming from the wrong spot. It's that their lives are not matching up with it. So yes, they could be saying things that are untrue, but likely a lot of it will be when people's lives are not carrying through with what they claim to know. And that is where an elder's refutation, where people are contradicting the gospel, contradicting what they say they believe with their lives. So that is two of the duties of an elder, to encourage with sound teaching and also to come in and refute contradictory understandings of the gospel, which is why we need to be self-controlled men who are blameless. And we sort of have this, we fit this character list on a more general level. In other words, each one of these characteristics, and you're, will there be times when Trevor is not self-controlled? Yes. Is that the overarching character of his life? Is when I look at the character of his life, is he a self, would I classify him as a self-controlled person? You know, if you say, Tom is a loud person, and then I watch Tom while he's asleep, and I go, he's not a loud person. In fact, he doesn't even snore. It's like, that doesn't mean that he's not a loud person. It means the overarching encounter, your experience with Tom is going to be loud. Likewise here, self-control doesn't mean that there won't be period of in an elder's life that you can look and say, hey, you're not self-controlled. Look right there. You lost your temper. But it does mean when I look overarching at his life that people would, that an elder would come off this way. People would experience an elder like this. Okay, that is Titus in the description of elders and their jobs. And so now let's spend some time in prayer. And I'd just like to pray for our elders. Elders at City Church are me, Trevor Atwood, Dustin Walker, Jeremy Young, Elisha Lawrence, Bill Gardner, Anthony Fontaine, and Joel Polk. And these are all men that are very dear to me and their families, and I'm so thankful to partner with them in ministry and to serve all of you. And so let's pray now for our elders. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the calling of elders at City Church. We're thankful, I'm so thankful for the men that you have brought up into this position and that our church has seen and verified their character and their witness, and I'm thankful for the servants that they are. Father, may our church be better through the leadership and the service of these men. Keep us from selfishness. Keep us, Father, close to you in such a way that the characteristics in this list would continue to be the markers of our life, and even more so as we grow closer to you. Give us wisdom and courage and compassion and love as we lead and serve here at City Church. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, City Church, it is a joy. It is a joy to be an elder here, and I know all those other men would agree. So be fruitful and multiply. Go and multiply the gospel.